Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it.
Hello and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. This is a very special programme indeed, because it is our 200th programme. Imagine that. It's been 5 years of weekly programmes and here we are at number 200. And to help celebrate, I have here beside me as always the station manager of 3TFM, Lewis Ferguson. Lewis has recorded every single one of the 200 programmes. We're a double act. I leave all the technical stuff to Lewis. He lets me do the script. I'd just like to thank you personally, Lewis, for all the work that you have put in. It's been a real pleasure to work with you. I'd also like to thank 3TFM for allowing me a completely free hand and letting Lewis and I make all these programmes. May I also record my thanks to all the people who have contributed to the programmes. And most of all, I'd like to thank you, the listeners, for tuning in. The whole point of broadcasting is for the benefit of the listeners, so I hope you've been suitably rewarded for your tuning in. So, Lewis, how do you feel about us reaching this milestone?
I feel very excited, feel very happy. It's a terrific achievement. I'd also like to thank you, Alec, for the kind words that you've said towards myself and 3TFM. It's an absolute pleasure to work with you. I think your programmes are very informative and there's always a message and a point behind them all, which makes it good radio listening.
It's good fun anyway.
Well, you do the hard work. I just press buttons here, but you're doing the main work.
So, are you ready to take a trip down memory lane and we can pick out some of the highlights of the programmes? Of course, it's only our highlights, but these are the highlights of programmes 101 to 199. You remember we did this sort of thing at the 100th programme. So, Lewis, on you go. You have the first shot.
Fair enough, Alec. I will. I must admit, when you approached me about this particular programme, you'd done an art exhibition on radio. I went, eh? How can anybody see on radio? You can only but hear. But it proved to be extremely popular and very cleverly done. And radio's a wonderful part of the media because it's all about the imagination. And this programme really does make you think about the point you're putting over and the various aspects about it. What inspired the idea?
The first picture I have here is that of a little baby being held in his father's hand. He's lying along the length of the arm and the head of the baby is in the cup of his hand. And the baby is sound asleep, totally relaxed, lying along this, what looks like the branch of a tree. He's sound asleep in father's hand. This is actually baby Zach. He lives in the Three Towns. His grandfather is a member of the Saltcoats Photography Club, which at that time was meeting in the Focus Centre, which is where the studio is for 3TFM. So as I came out of the studio, I saw this picture on the wall, and I was immediately captivated by it. He told me that it took 2 hours to photograph this one photograph, because every time Zach seemed to just wriggle a little bit. So the father's arm must have been pretty stiff by the end of that. There is the grandfather photographing the father holding the grandson. And when you look at the baby's face, you just see innocence and trust and new life, fragility, vulnerability, potential, helplessness, dependence. But if you focus on the hand and the arm, you think of the father, and you see strength and trustworthiness and love and support, creation, providence, silence, gentleness, the invisible presence. You can see in this a parable of God holding us in his hands. Or supposing we're thinking in Christmas terms that this is the baby Jesus and the hand belongs to Joseph, then it opens a whole new line of thinking. Imagine that the almighty, infinite, eternal God allowed himself to become a little gurgling baby asleep in Joseph's arms, that God allowed himself and trusted himself to be in human hands, knowing what humans can do with babies. It's a lovely picture of the incarnation of God, of the way that he allows himself to be vulnerable and allows himself to be hurt by us. Or we can love him in return and hug him and nurture him and let him hug us and nurture us. You can see it from both ends. Anyway, here's a song. He's got the whole world in his hands, including the tiny little baby. We also pushed the frontiers of broadcasting with a programme on silence, because silence is the absolute no-no on radio.
I remember this programme as well, and I'm saying to myself, how can you do a programme in silence? How's folk going to hear it? Wonderful way of working here, Alec, but really effective, as we're about to find out.
So let's say shut up and listen to some silence. I heard a very interesting discussion on the radio. It was a group of creative writers, and they were saying that it's part of the creative process to chew things over. You put it to the back of your mind and let your subconscious continue the process. And then you wait for the eureka moment when the subconscious mind pushes the answer into your conscious mind. But that takes time and stillness and what they called creative space. Then they said, the creative space is being squeezed out by our modern lifestyle. Every spare moment is being filled up with chattering on mobile phones, texting, emailing, listening to music, noise, busyness, you name it, all crowding out the silence and the space needed to let creative ideas be born in us. Leonardo da Vinci, the famous artist, used to say, "I often pause between brush strokes, and the longer I pause, the better my next brush stroke is." That's what life's about. That's what prayer is about. Quality time with God, with others, and with ourselves. The Bible says, "Be still and know that he is God." There's the saying, "Take time to smell the roses." Don't always force the pace. Be still and let things come to us. We can't reach up to God anyway, so be still and be ready for God to come to us.
Deliverance from him is coming.
remember we interviewed two blind bowlers.
I remember it well, yes I do, Billy and Irene, yes.
Both from Saltcoat.
Yes, an absolute credit to themselves, an inspiration to the sport. That was something I'll always remember when they came in, because they were very positive in their mind and their attitude. And I think the point they had to make over in the interview, the programme was excellent as well.
So here's Billy and Irene telling us all about it. So welcome Billy and Irene Edgar. It's nice of you to come along to the studio tonight. I appreciate that. So Irene, can I pick up where we left off, where we were chatting? You mentioned the fact that you're a blind bowler, and Billy is too.
Yes, that's right.
So like everybody else, my ears picked up at that and said, blind bowling? How on earth can you do that?
Well, what you do is we have a string down the centre of the rink, and at the jack we do an upside down clock system.
You need to explain that one.
Which is, somebody stands, once you deliver the jack, somebody stands behind the jack and they'll tell you you're 3 metres over the minimum mark, or full length, whatever the length is, you've got to judge your weight. And the clock system will tell you, they'll say you're a yard at 5, which means you're a yard short from the jack and you've got the right grass. Or if you're a yard at 3, which means you've got the right weight, but you need to bring your grass in a bit with your bowl so that it curves. Because once the bowl starts to slow down, that is when the bias starts to work in towards the jack. So that tells you if you've got to give it more grass, give it less grass, give it more weight or less weight.
It sounds quite technical. So in your head, you've got a mental picture like a clock.
Yeah.
And you can mentally place where the bowl is.
Yes, and that allows you to try and alter where you've went wrong.
And it depends on your partner, the caller, describing it accurately.
Yes.
And can you also hold in your head where several balls are at the same time?
Sometimes, but what you can do is ask, they also shout down where the opponent's ball has landed. So you know if their ball has landed at 7 o'clock, well, maybe my ball won't get round that, so you stay on your forehand instead of going up your backhand.
And how do you manage with all this, Billy? Do you work the thread as well?
Yes, Irene said, we work the same system. Yeah. In fact, it's actually worldwide, the system now.
All right, it's not just your own technique.
No. It's actually, although blind bowling was started in Scotland, but it's actually, there's 12 countries worldwide now. We meet every 4 years. So it's a good system that's been very popular over the past 20 odd years or so.
Well, I thought we'd play some music about bowling, and we've come up with, I think it's Peter Chiani from his album called Lawn Bowling. Listen to this.
Why don't you come one afternoon to the bowling club? Lawn bowling is for anyone who likes to have some fun. We'll have a game, a friendly game, ladies and gentlemen. Lawn bowling is a lot of fun. It rejuvenates your heart. It makes you feel you're like a champ right from the very start. Ladies and gents, let's concentrate. Just draw around the jack. Building the head, 9 out of 10 will help you win the end.
Our next programme that we're about to feature, Alec, I think out of the 200 we've ever done, this one will always be a real favourite of mine, because I've never ever met somebody of this person's age before, and she came in so bubbly. She was enthusiastic, gentle, warm, so kind. I'm talking about the episode that we recorded with Mrs. Peggy Wales, who was celebrating her 100th birthday in that particular programme.
It's amazing to think she was able to come to the studio and talk for half an hour making her debut on radio.
That's correct. She was absolutely fabulous, as we're about to hear.
And when I asked her to pick her favourite song, right away she said, Alfie Bo. I'm very excited tonight about our programme because we're about to do something I've never done before. Something you, the listener, have never done before, I bet. Something in 3TFM we've never done before, and something our special guest in the studio has never done before. That is, we're about to interview a lady who is 100 years old. Or 100 years young, sorry, I should say. So I'd like to introduce to you my good friend sitting here. This is Mrs. Peggy Wales from Saltcoats. So, welcome, Peggy.
Oh.
It's nice to have you in the studio.
Yes.
Well, we come clean about it right away that this programme is recorded.
Yes.
But it's recorded a few days before the event, so we can put it out on the air on your very birthday. So, when is your birthday?
The 24th of September.
24th September. So, it's coming up in a few days' time. So, yes. You're just there and thereabouts. Are you quite excited at the prospect?
So-so.
Just so-so. Have you not been waiting for 100 years for this moment?
Not really. Just take it as it comes.
Are you maybe having a big party or something special?
Yes, my son-in-law has arranged something for all the family will be for my birthday.
Is that a big secret? Or well, can you tell us now?
Well, my birthday's on the 24th, but this party will be on the 22nd to suit the rest of the family who come from different places.
Right, and it'll continue for 2 days right through.
Well,
probably, if you're fit.
A wee bit.
Are you feeling quite fit?
Do my best.
Well, you're doing well just to be here in the studio.
I mean, yes,
a lot of
yes.
people your age wouldn't be out and about.
No, that's true.
And you weren't even straight from the house to be here. You were out gallivanting before you came. So, it's maybe a daft question, but how does it feel to be coming up to 100?
I just can't believe it, to be quite truthful.
It doesn't seem a long time looking back.
Yes, it does. Looking back, it does. But I can't really believe that my next 50 is going to be 100, you know. Mm. The days have gone in and that's it.
You'll be looking forward to the mail on that day?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. A wee card from the Queen?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. The first of many?
Mm-hmm.
There is a woman down in England, remember? She's 109. Nine cards from the Queen.
Oh, my.
And she was complaining she got the same card, the same picture every
year.
Oh,
she didn't want that.
We'll see. So, we're going to have a wee think about your life.
Yes.
And a big feature of your life is music. So, you've picked some tracks, and the first track you've picked, well, you tell us.
Oh, Alfie Bo,
singing When I Fall in Love. Because when I was talking to you previously,
yes.
and I said, you like a lot of music, and I said, pick one singer, and the one singer
was Alfie
Bo.
That's right, yes. I do like him, he's got a gorgeous voice.
When I fall in love, it will be forever, or I'll never fall in love. In a restless world like this is, love is ended before it's begun, and too many moonlight kisses seem to cool in the warmth of the sun. When I give my heart, it will be completely, or I'll never give my heart. And the moment I can feel that, you feel that way too, is when I fall in love with you.
I must confess I'm sitting here, Lewis, with a bit of a lump in my throat.
Yes.
Because I kind of fell in love with Peggy myself. And it's sad to say that she passed away just a few weeks ago. She was nearly 101. She had a long, full and active life. And I'm sure she'll be playing her keyboard and all her musical ability will be well used, accompanying the angels in heaven.
I'm quite sure you're correct in that
we'll
one, Al.
We'll pass on our sympathies to our family at this time.
She was a delightful lady, certainly one that I'll remember. And we get lots of guests coming into 3TFM, we really do. You mentioned at the start of the programme, Alec, that yourself and I are a double act. Well, there's many double acts out there in this world that were comedians, but one of the best double acts I've ever heard is actually yourself and your good lady Patricia, when you've done various worship sketches, putting a point over as well. And I must admit that it's a pleasure to listen to you two working together. It really is.
Thank you very much. Well, here's an example of it. It's Jesus's other resurrection appearance.
Psst, psst. Eh? Who? Me?
Yes, you. Do you know who I am?
No, but if you ask that policeman over there, he'll maybe be able to find out for you and let you know.
I don't need a policeman. I know who I am.
Well, why are you asking me then?
No, you misunderstand. I'm trying to introduce myself to you.
In that case, why don't you just tell me your name straight out?
Jesus Christ.
There's no need to swear.
I'm not swearing. My name is Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus.
Well, make up your mind. Are you Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus?
Well, actually, my name is Jesus, but my title is the Christ.
What kind of a title is that, then?
Christ means Messiah or Anointed One, the Heavenly One.
Is that just no a wee bit overstated? I mean, you're not bad-looking, but I wouldn't go far as say you're heavenly.
Don't you think I radiate?
I am not sure I want to comment on your personal hygiene.
No, I mean I feel so full of new life. I must be oozing vitality, vivaciousness, liveliness, joie de vivre.
Oh, I just thought you'd drunk too many colas with sugar and E2-in-1s. A lot of folk get hyper nowadays.
I've just had the most wonderful, ecstatic experience.
You're not on drugs, are you?
No, nothing like that. But I feel so high and so elated.
You better be careful about that, because balloons can burst and what goes up can soon fall down when it gets deflated.
What I mean is, I've just made the most glorious comeback.
Ah, so you're an actor then?
No, I'm not an actor. What I'm trying to tell you is, I've just risen from the dead.
You've just got out of bed?
Are you deaf or something? I'm telling you, I was dead, but now I'm alive.
Dead? You're not dead.
No, that's what I'm telling you. I was dead, but now I'm alive again.
You couldn't have been right dead then.
I was right dead. Completely done in, kaput, a goner, deceased, expired, past my sell-by date, shoveled off my mortal coil, dead and gone.
Gone where?
Hell.
There you go, swearing again.
I'm not swearing. You asked me where I went to. I went to hell.
West Kilbride's no that bad, especially if it's just for the weekend. So what did you do there?
I tried to save lost souls.
I bet you had less than a snowflake's chance.
I seem to be having less than a snowflake in hell's chance of getting through to you.
I'm not that thick. I heard you. You died a death, you've had a hellish weekend, and now you're feeling back in the land of living again. I've had plenty weekends like that myself.
How can I get through to you, since you seem like a French fry short of a happy meal? I was crucified, dead, and buried. But now I'm gloriously alive forevermore. I'm the proof that there is life after death.
A bit like Bruce Forsyth, then. He's died a few deaths, but he keeps dancing on.
Strictly speaking, I am the lord of the dance, and I still go on.
I preferred the X Factor myself.
I am the X Factor in myself. I am the way, I am the truth, I am life.
You're not Simon Cowell, are you?
No, I'm God Almighty.
I sometimes wonder if Simon Cowell thinks that too.
Look, I just wanted to show you that there is life after death, and that the last word is not suffering, injustice, evil and death, but resurrection, bounce-back ability, and fullest life, now and forever. But only in me, of course.
Well, why did you not say so earlier? What did you say your name was again?
Jesus Christ.
Then sings my song.
You're listening to 3TFM as we celebrate our 200th programme, and we're looking at a diversity of material, so here's something else completely different. You remember this one, Lewis?
Yes, certainly do.
This is the Fellowship of Fellow Sufferers. I had an operation, and the night after my operation, I was sleepless through pain. I got up in the middle of the night, and I was sitting doodling at my desk, and I came up with a radio programme, and this was it. All I can do in this holy half hour is to give one little glimpse into the world of pain and suffering through the lens of my own experience and the soundtrack of Little Walter's Blue Midnight. I'm sure that you've guessed by now that I am suffering, so let me share it with you. As I wrote what I'm about to say, I was in a bit of pain. I'm sitting in the middle of the night at my desk in my study. My wife is still sleeping, as is Duvet Dog, Dougie our dog. Outside it is dark and silent. Other folk are fast asleep. I just had to get up. The painkillers have worn off after their 4 hours of relative comfort. I say comfort. I was lying in the only possible position which I could find to lie on. My head is all bandaged, and I look like an Egyptian mummy. It wasn't a big operation. Well, that's what the surgeon said, but it seemed big enough to me yesterday. I know what he means. It was routine for him. He only cut out quite a small piece of skin in my ear and a small piece of skin from my thigh to graft onto the ear. Nothing major, but oh, the consequences. I look like Tutankhamun's mummy. My head is oversized, top heavy with bandages and groggy. I can't lie on my bad ear. I can't even lie on my good ear because it's too sore with the tight bandage. I can't lie on my side with the skin graft. I can only lie flat on my back and not move. Now I've got a sore back. In fact, it's my back which has projected me out of bed in the wee small hours. I just can't lie in that one fixed position another second or I'll scream. Welcome to Edmund Munch's silent scream moment. Well, I mustn't wake the wife, the dog, or the slumbering world. All across town, all over the world, there are occasional bedroom lights on as people of every race and colour and creed are inducted into the Fellowship of Fellow Sufferers and enrolled in the School of Hard Knocks, which is life. REM know what I mean.
Cries. sometimes everything is wrong. Now it's time to sing along. When your day is night, hold on, hold on. If you feel like letting go, hold on. If you think you've had too much.
Our next clip of the past 200 and odd programmes, which enjoyed, was a gentleman who came in to the studios earlier on in the year, the moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, the Right Reverend Albert Bogle. Fascinating man, absolutely fascinating, so interesting.
He's quite a character. He's not only a minister and moderator, he's the front man in the Albert Bogle Band, and they've even performed at Tea in the Park. So here's Albert talking and singing as well.
Have you gone far and wide?
Yes, we've gone as far as Korea this year, and we've visited South Korea and visited the church there, which was established, believe it or not, by a Scottish missionary called John Ross.
Right.
And John Ross took the gospel to Manchuria. And while he was in Manchuria, he was a linguist, and he learned so many other languages, and he learned Hangul script, which was, again, the dialect that the Koreans speak. And he learned that script, and then he translated the Gospels into Korean, and passed the Gospels on to merchants who took the Gospel into Korea, and the merchants themselves shared the Gospel by reading the Gospels and passing it on to people. And eventually John Ross went to visit Korea, but the church was established by the Gospel being taken into Korea with Korean merchants. So they're celebrating this year, they're celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Presbyterian Church.
Mm-hmm.
And last year we were privileged to be part of that celebration and to go and join with other churches from around the world that went to support the church in Korea. So we've went as far as that. And also we've been to Africa. I'm just back from South Africa. We were visiting the church in the Presbyterian Church in South Africa, and again following the trail of David Livingstone, who was again a Scots missionary who took the gospel to Africa and was also an explorer. So we've been to Asia, you might say, and we've also been to the continent of Africa, and also we've been to Czech Republic. And then we've been to the Orkney Islands, and we've been to Wigton and Stranraer, and we've been to Royal Deeside, and now we've saved the best wine to the last, and we're here in our Drossen. And I think this is one of my best meetings with you, Alec, in your show here, just talking to the people of our Drossen. So there you go.
Very good. Well, so welcome to Saltcote, Stevenson, our Drossen and surrounds. Yes. I'd like to intersperse our chatting with a wee bit of music. I can announce that the music today is all by Albert's band. It's not often you get a moderator who's fronting a band. So it's the Albert Bogle Band.
That was the Bogle Band, yes.
You're supported by your good friend. And you write some of your own material.
I write most, all the songs are written, their own homemade songs. And I co-write songs with Ian Jimison, who's one of the doctors in Irvine. And also I work with another doctor, Ian's brother, who also writes songs with me and plays in the band, Colin, who's the doctor down in Largs.
Oh, nice.
So that's part of our team that we work together on.
So what's the first track we're going to hear then?
Well, the next track we're going to hear is a song called Have You Room for Love? And it's just a challenge to all of us in the church today that we need to make space for one another. And so often we build walls round about one another, and we, in building walls, we exclude people. And the gospel is not about excluding people, but it's about having no walls around us, because the gospel changes people's hearts and breaks down walls. So this song was called Have You Room for Love?
I should just explain that before you were the moderator, you were the convener of the Church Without Walls Committee.
That's right, yes. Yeah. So maybe this is a kind of reflection on that work that we were doing a few years ago.
Right, so let's hear it then.
Shut up, give up, and I can't say
say now and I won't say then, lonely. And it's funny how the busiest life can feel so damned empty. I tell you now, this empty soul is aching. But you let your children walk away from your door. For everyone that walks, there's a million more. You talk of your programs, visions and dreams, and I just want to scream. Have you room for love? I want to know now. Have you space for me? 'Cause I'm not like you, you see.
Beautiful song as well. Andy writes his own songs, Alec. Very talented. He was the moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, the Right Reverend Albert Bogle. Time's fast running away from us, Alec.
I know the holy half hour's getting stretched here. So could I just thank you, Lewis, for all you've done over the 200 programmes. Thanks to all our listeners for tuning in. And I'd like to leave you with one last clip. Basically, if you forgot everything I ever said in the 200 programmes, I'd like you just to remember this bit. So this is the gem at the heart of everything. It's what I believe, it's what I live to proclaim and share with the world. Jesus is God. Jesus is God is an amazing claim. Christians believe that God, the one and only God, God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit God, he came down to earth from heaven and became human, the baby in the manger, Jesus. He did not stop being God, but he did start being human. He's the God-man, fully divine and fully human. No silly games, fully human. God in flesh and blood. The big word for it is incarnation. The invisible God made himself visible. St. Paul writes, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. People do find this hard to take in, quite understandably, for it's a big claim. The more we think about it, the more mind-boggling it gets. Almighty God became a helpless baby, gurgling in a manger. The infinite God squeezed down into a first-century Palestinian stable, Palestinian womb. The holy, perfect God rolled about in messy straw. The judge of all the earth became the man judged, the object of everybody else's considered verdict. The creator of heaven and earth became a newborn baby wetting his nappies. He, the great protector, provider, sustainer of the universe, needed feeding, changing and burping. He, the God of love and grace, needed a hug from his teenage mother. It goes on and on. Just think about it.